in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
We talk an awful lot here on this program about the Packers way of doing business. We joke about once you cross the 30 threshold, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and his girlfriends. 26, no good. 25, okay. You're over 30 with the Green Bay Packers. It does appear as though the way that the front office is making decisions has to do with how old you are. So Jason Wilde, our friend and teammate, was on the Homer Hour. And he made an interesting observation about the Green Bay Packers and the way that they feel about players, generally speaking. Take a listen to what Jason Wilde had to say about players and how dispensable they are.
I do find myself wondering, and this is purely me just looking at the way things play out, not anything more. No one has ever said this to me. I do find myself wondering if there is just a, you know what, all these guys are replaceable. They just are. Like, there's no, we don't have a Reggie White. We don't have any, we don't have an Aaron Rodgers. We don't have a Brett Favre. Yeah. Like,
other
all
than
these
quarterback.
Guys. Yeah. Seriously, like, Devontae Adams is replaceable. Now,
right.
I would agree.
Other
I would,
than quarterback.
I would argue.
Yeah.
I would argue that they have found that Devontae has not been replaceable. The way that they drafted all these guys and none of them have elevated their games to such a degree that you could argue that they're as good.
I agree.
But I do think that there's a chance that in that building, it's, you know what, we'd rather have young guys who aren't going to necessarily think for themselves or, you know, create angst like David Bakhtiari, like Jair Alexander. So maybe we should just have all first-year contract guys on our team, make a few occasional exceptions, like for Zach Tom, and that's the way to do business now
right,
in today's
but,
NFL.
Right, and
interesting conversation there by Jason Wilde. So let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is health. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's Better H-E-L-P. The Packers have sort of put themselves in this situation, haven't they? I mean, Jason references not having a Reggie White. Well, you'd have to actually go out and obtain a player of Reggie White's caliber in order to then have somebody who is, quote unquote, indispensable. So the fact that you guys always talk about how there's no superstars on this team, there's nobody that really like blows your mind. That's the way they've structured this team. So then by doing that, they sort of have made everybody expendable, haven't they, Gabe?
Yeah, because yeah. So I look at that as they just haven't gotten the right guys who are right. They we want to get younger. We want to be able to do all these different things, but also we've drafted some really good players. Again, a lot of guys who are solid starters and would start just about anywhere in the league. They haven't drafted that guy who's truly indispensable. Like right now, Jordan Love's indispensable based on the contract that he has. We're also a couple of years away from them going, okay, maybe is Jordan dispensable if he doesn't get any better? Like, I think that's more of, yeah, these guys are easier to move on from, but also it's because they just aren't good enough.
Players know that, though. They know that once you can't perform to your contract or can't perform at all, that they're done with you. They're not that dumb, you know? That's why you see guys like Elgton Jenkins, because he does have leverage, saying, that just didn't happen a lot in my day. But players know now. Like, I don't blame Elgton Jenkins one bit, the way the game is today. And he's not, all he's asking for is guarantee. He's not asking for more money. He's just asking for guaranteed money.
And just take some of this money and guarantee
which
it
would lead me to believe the fact that, and they will do it eventually. I think Elton believes that he would be gone after this year.
Yes.
Right? So he's got to protect himself.
And I can't blame him.
I can't blame him.
Right? Because, so what's his responsibility when they ask him to change positions? Is it to say yes? Because if it is to say yes, isn't then there some negotiation that should go on there? Hey, I'll say yes. If you guarantee a little bit of my contract, I'll help you out if you help me out.
Sure, I mean,
or
that's
should he
fair.
Just or should he just blindly say, "Nope, I'm under contract. I should do what's best for the team." Because like you said, the Packers will do what's best for them, and if it's best for them to get out of that contract next year, they'll do that in a heartbeat.
See, I think the fans, they're all with the, at the end of the day, they're loyal to the team, right? But they have such a hard time understanding that this is a business. It's a business, you know? Like, you go to work here every day.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to work in Green Bay, and it would suck. There's one good day, mostly one good day. You know what day that is? Game day.
Okay. I would argue, based on some of the stories you have told.
Yeah.
You had more than, I mean, I don't have your career numbers in front of me of how many games you played. I think you had more good days than that.
Yeah, because it's fun. But at the end of the day, it's work.
Yeah, it's still work.
It's work. You know how many times you go to work and your knee's killing you, your shoulder, your wrist, and you got to go out there? That's why.
And then block
I'm
Reggie White in practice.
Football players. Football players, not even coaches, because my son is the same way. Bitch, more than anybody you know. Because it's so miserable.
Oh,
not
really?
Not so much anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And if NFL players complain a lot.
Constantly.
Right,
yeah.
Let me answer the question
asked. Where would I have figured that out from?
Sort of beats it into our head every chance he gets, doesn't he? Let me answer the question you had, which is, if I were Elton, I would do exactly what he's doing, which is saying, I'm willing to help you out, but you got to help me out as well.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do what is in the best interest of the team, but I recognize that it could hurt me on the backside, and so we need to make this square in some way. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. Second of all, the situation that Jason talks about, the Packers find themselves in, I don't think they want to be in that situation. I think it's a byproduct. It's an unintended consequence of not drafting all that well, of not having great players, of not having developed some of these guys into difference makers, stars, indispensable players. I don't think Jason is wrong. I just don't think the Packers want it to be this way. But since they are here, they are willing to, you know, it's like if you got a bunch of stuff in your pantry and you're like, we didn't really like this, toss it. We didn't. But if you're like, oh, this was fantastic. No, we need to keep this. We need to hold on to this. The value obviously dictates the dispensability. And the Packers are solely and exclusively responsible, Gabe, for how good those players are at this point.
But if Devontae was, in their minds, replaceable, he was first team All-Pro the year after he left Green Bay. Who isn't replaceable?
Oh, everybody's replaceable.
Well, yes, replaceable.
Yeah.
But the idea of you can move on from them pretty easily. When the quality is a 7, you can find another 7. Where are the 10s? Where are the 9.5?
Well, the last
those
10
are
they had
to find.
The last 10 they had, they decided they didn't want anymore. They made that decision. Based on lowballing him, and then, oh, well, we offered more money after the damage had already been done with
Devontae.
I guess
my point to you, though, is like, and what has it given them? What has it gotten them? Early exits in the playoffs.
Yeah. Look,
so they could sit here and defend it and say everybody is replaceable, but I would make the argument that that plan hasn't worked.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jen. Like, we're on the same page here. I'm just saying, did Goody learn a lesson from that? We don't know if he has, because they haven't gotten a player in the situation. Now, they've had first team all pros. Obviously, Xavier McKinney was a first team all pro last year. So he's under contract for a number of more years. But if he's first team all pro heading in, you know, after the last year of his contract, are they going to lock him up to another deal? Are they going to let him walk away? Because, oh man, he's getting close to 30. I don't know if he's going to be able to be as productive. So that's that. I am curious if they actually learned a lesson for the Devontae Adams situation. And they just haven't been put in a similar situation since.
I don't think he
regrets
it.
Because they don't have.
If you ask Goody today, would you do it all over again? He'd probably say no. With Devontae?
So he does regret it.
No, I don't think he does.
So he
would do it all over again.
Yes. Yeah. The way he did it. Don't you think so? I don't think he regrets the way he handled that.
I honestly don't know. Honestly, I don't.
Well, we're learning out that coaches are replaceable too. Not offering you a contract?
Extension? Saying,
pardon?
Oh.
The extension you're talking about?
And the GM. Which is fine. But it's just the players know that. So it's different than in my day. The only one I can think of that was like taking a hard line and saying, I'm not playing, is Sterling. That's it.
And Sterling wasn't replaceable until he was. And I mean, he wasn't replaceable and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it.
But that's different because we sucked. Well, we didn't suck, but we weren't talented.
Yeah.
Put it that way. It's easy.
That's, you know? It's a fine line. You're really...
Yeah.
We didn't suck. We just weren't talented.
Do you agree with Jason Wilde's assessment that the Packers feel all of their players are dispensable, expendable, replaceable, if you will? Let us know. Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. We got to take a break. We do want to get to Jeff Levering on time, and we are not doing really well at that so far. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I want to tell you about my friends at Wisconsin Country Club. If you're looking to join a place because, you know, you're looking for that great challenging golf course that you want to play over and over again, that's what Wisconsin Country Club offers for me. I also love just going out there. Like yesterday was hot. Didn't necessarily want to play the full 18. I was just able to go hit some balls on the range, work on my short game with the different practice areas that they have. No assessments, new food and beverage minimums at Wisconsin Country Club, just the incredible challenging course, and other top-tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. I just got an email. We got a new pickleball pro. If somebody wants to learn how to play pickleball, you can do that as well. Get started today. TheWisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fair way away.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
10 years ago, the Badgers basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe, and on Thursday, June 26th, you can join the stars from that squad as they remember and celebrate the 2015 run to Indy. Get your tickets to be part of this intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. They're bringing some of the biggest stars from that run back. I can just imagine them sitting on stage, waxing poetic, telling you behind-the-scenes stories of what went on with that squad. Bo Ryan will be there. Frank Kaminsky will be there. Sam Decker will be there. UWHoops2015.com. That's where you can get tickets. UWHoops2015.com. Get your tickets now. Untold stories and memories from that season. It is going to make it a night you will not forget. It's June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets on sale at UWHoops2015.com. Very quickly, before we get to Jeff Levering, Sam Decker, who I just mentioned a moment ago, had a tweet out there about, it was basically the run, right? The usage
yes.
that these teams, the NBA teams, as we were talking about Tyrese Halliburton. Gabe, what was the tweet that Sam Decker sent?
Average miles covered per 82 games. So how many miles you're running throughout the course of an NBA game and then normalizing it to the full regular season. And really, since the year 2000 until now, it is a sharp increase. In 2000, average player running around 1,300 miles over the course of 82 games. That's now up over 1,500 miles.
That's a lot of miles.
It's, you're putting more miles on your body, which is why you're seeing guys probably break down a little bit more. And, you know, I know a lot of people want to push back on load management, things of that nature. But when you're putting that much more stress on your body, you're kind of understanding why, you know,
the only
teams want to do this.
Against load management has been that you buy the tickets with your kids, you're going to the game to see the big names play, and then they don't play because of quote-unquote load management. I understand it. It makes perfect sense to me to rest your superstar so that they can make a deep run, but I also understand the fan part of it, you know, when they specifically buy that ticket to go see the superstars in the league. Does the league need to shrink games? Do they need to have fewer games? Is there any chance, again, we know how much money the league makes per game and how lucrative it is. Is there any chance that they would ever do that?
Can't imagine. Can't imagine that because everybody makes less money then.
But Achilles are different than ACLs. ACLs just, I cut wrong, mm-hmm. you know, I got rolled up on. Achilles is just, like you said, it's kind of a beat down. It's just worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, but that's three superstars.
Two in their 20s.
That have gone down for Achilles, which is, yeah, they probably need to study this a little bit.
I will tell you this. If I got a calf injury,
yeah,
no chance.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's the precursor.
Even if it's game 7 of the finals?
Listen, I get it. And before this happened last night, I would have said, no chance. Get me out there. I want to be out there with my guys. I want a chance to win it for the first time in franchise history. Totally understand it. But now that you're seeing so many of these calf injuries precede the Achilles injury, 100%. Got to be 100% with the calf. We got to get to Jeff Levering. He's going to join us here to talk about your Brew Crew and the fantastic series that they had against the Minnesota Twins. That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Don't go anywhere.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What a weekend for your Milwaukee Brewers. I am so excited about what Jacob Mizrowski is going to do, but it is not just the pitching. No, it has been the offense as well. And to break it down, to talk about the Brew Crew, we have Jeff Levering, voice of your Brewers, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. I guess you liked the seeds on the inside joke, huh?
Yeah, I was caught off guard by that. Good work, Jen. Very nice. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Ooh, seeds on the inside.
That's what we do here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Jeff.
We don't want to ease you in. We want to just get right to how it's going to go. So I was just telling you guys this morning.
Rip that Band-Aid right off. Thank you.
This is the first time since, I think, 2011, which feels like a very long time ago because it was, where you are seeing incredible signs of a emerging offense, what could be a dominant offense. And of course, we know all of the moves that they have from a pitching standpoint. Is this a year where fans can actually not just focus on one side, the offense or the defense, the pitching or the lineup? You can be excited about both?
I think so. And I think that was the case a few years ago, too, where you had all these aces when Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta were just dealing at the same time. And the offense was rolling in 2021. It felt like 2023 was a very good offensive year. Last year was very dynamic with the pitching to go along with it. But I think that it's been a really long time in this Brewers franchise history where they've had this much young talent on the pitching side, right? You have to go back to that Freddie Woodruff Burns at the beginning of their career in 2018. You're almost seeing the second wave of that right now. But what they did offensively over the weekend against the Twins was really impressive. 35 runs. They only hit two homers, and both of those came yesterday. A solo shot by Hoskins, a three-run homer by Bryce Terang. It's a fun brand of baseball that the Brewers are playing, and Murph likes talking about it a lot, where he wants his opponents to feel the Brewers, right? They want to be felt every single time. And I think Twins were certainly feeling the Brewers all weekend long.
Jeff, does the front office not get enough credit? Because I've said it like a couple months ago, out of the professional sports teams in Wisconsin, Packers, Bucks, I trust the Brewers the most. And there was that dust up at the end of the season that Ananasio didn't spend enough money. But they figure it out. You know, my thing is, I don't think they get enough credit because they deserve a ton for what they've built this roster.
Yeah, Chewy, I think you're right. I think that the Brewers have been doing this now for 10 years, right? They've won division three out of the last 4 years. With going into every season, you go, how are they going to do it? Why aren't the Cubs winning? Why aren't the Cardinals winning? I don't get why the Reds aren't winning it. They keep doing it year after year, and nobody is believing in it. Even at the highest levels of Major League Baseball, people don't believe that the Brewers are doing it. But year in and year out, they do it. The Brewers have the secret sauce, man, and this front office is really impressive. What they've been able to do with the budget that they've been able to put together, continue to drop the payroll year after year, but they're still producing at an extremely high level on the field.
What's your favorite Jacob Mizrowski pitch?
Oh, the Miz?
I was going to say,
the one that we're calling the
favorite child question over here, Jeff.
Well, because you got the 100-mile-an-hour gas, you got the slider that literally made a man fall down this week, and you have a changeup that has been reported as having 17 inches of run. So you got a lot of choices.
Yeah, Miss Lippy's car is green as well. So, I think my favorite Miz pitch is... Lane and I started calling it the Miz because we don't know whether it's a cutter or a slider, that 96 mile an hour thing that almost killed Castro. Sorry, that's kind of a bad joke there, but like Willie Castro looked like a wine bottle, like a corkscrew in that batter's box. So my favorite of the Miz pitches is the Miz.
I like that you've already pitched that he's thrown. I like, because there's way too much debate about what it is that I see on Twitter. Like, The only thing I know is that it's awesome, and I love that you guys already have a nickname for it.
I mean, why not? It's his pitch, right? It's the Miz, and he is the Miz. It's great. Is I can't wait for Wednesday, by
is,
the way.
Is that what the Holy players cow. Is that what the players call him, Miz?
Yes.
They got to spoof this thing from Seinfeld. Nobody beats the Miz.
He's the Miz, and nobody beats him.
Yes.
Nobody what? Beats the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, Wednesday, Jeff.
He's pretty impressive.
Wednesday, I mean, get to your seats early, because you're not going to want to miss Skeens versus Miz.
No, this is, I mean, what Skeens did last year, being a number one overall pick and all the hype around him and... I mean, he's deserved every bit of it, what Skeens did. But what Mizorowski did is even better. What Mizorowski has done, nobody's ever done, at least since 1920. Go out there and throw 11 no-hit innings to start your big league career, not just Brewers franchise history. This is Major League Baseball that they can find in the record books. So it's super impressive. Wednesday's game is one that you just sit back, and if you like pitching matchups, that's the one that you want to be at. You don't care if anybody scores. It's a race to one, and if someone gets to one, fine, good for you. But at that same, you want to see those guys out there, and you want to see them pitching. You want to see the high octane. You want to see all the nasty stuff that they're throwing. It's going to be great on Wednesday.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, talking about the Brew Crew, who are now just 3.5 games back of the Cubs. And I think the last time I checked, have one of the top run scoring offenses in the league. The Cubs are obviously up there. The Dodgers are up there. The Phillies are up there. But I think the Brewers are right next as far as how many runs they've scored when we talk about the offense. So let's talk about Christian Yelich, because what he has done over the last month, I think, has been remarkable. When you talk about the journey he has been on, the back injuries he has dealt with, having to just basically reinvent himself at the plate, what is the simplest explanation for why he has had this resurgence?
Well, think about a month ago, he was hitting 184. And where's he now? He's almost 260.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 259.
That's a lot of at-bats. Yeah, that's a lot of at-bats to cover that much ground. I think it's one of two things, Jen. I think, number one, he feels healthy. He feels good. His back's in a good place. Number two, he's getting used to DHing every day. He's never done that every day. He's always gone out and played left field. He's had something to escape his at-bats. But when you're a DH, that's all you do. That's the only way that you're able to help your team win, is by, on the field at least, is by hitting. And that you could have a bad at-bat, and you could sit on that thing for 2 weeks if you want to. Or if you have a bad at-bat, you stew on it for 3 innings until you have an opportunity to get back to the plate again. I think he's really learned how to be a DH. And it took some time, and that's fine. But man, this version of Christian Yelich, hitting balls the other way, hitting homers, pull side with the off speed stuff, he's driving in runs. This is vintage Yelich. This is fun to watch.
Jeff, how close is Woodruff?
I think he's getting close. I mean, he's out. I think he threw a bullpen the other day, and then he's going to go out again for another rehab assignment. I think all the swelling is gone in his elbow. But you got to make sure that everything is right. He's had the ankle stuff. Of course, the shoulder is number one that you got to deal with. But after the line drive off the elbow, you got to make sure he's right as rain. And it seemed like he's going to be close to going on a rehab assignment pretty soon.
What's allowed Sal Frelick to take that jump offensively this year?
Well, he hit the weight room in the offseason. I don't think that has a ton to do with it, but I just think he knows what he needs to do to get on base. He's always been that kind of guy. He's always been a pesky kind of hitter, but the thing is that he's hitting the ball with a lot more authority now.
Yeah.
And it's the high pitch, too. And you think, for a guy that's 5'8", on a good day, to hit that high pitch, there was somebody who reached out to me on Twitter early on in the season. He was hitting these high pitches, and he goes, don't think that has anything to do, or absolutely has something to do, with the fact that he was a hockey player and swinging a hockey stick left-handed, because you have to have a really good top hand to swing a hockey stick left-handed. What do you think he's doing? He's doing that, and he's a right-handed dominant person too. So that bottom hand is a right-handed dominant person, is your guide hand offensively for a left-handed batter, but you have to have a really strong left hand to go along with it, and that absolutely has to do with hockey. But I think for Sal, he's really starting to get to know himself, and he knows what he needs to do with the plate every time he's coming up. He's getting on base, and him in the leadoff spot, leave him there. Just leave him there.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jen Gabe and Chewy. I want to talk about Mizorowski just a little bit because you have had the opportunity to kind of get to know him certainly better than we have. He's a young kid. It feels a little like the stage is not too big for him. I keep wondering if there's going to be this moment of like, wow, I'm really doing what I'm doing. I'm really doing it on this stage against the best in the world. What about his makeup leads you to believe that he can handle the bright lights of this position? And we were just talking about Potawatomi, man. He was plus 1,200 to win Rookie of the Year. I think it was before his first start or right after his first start. And now it's down to plus 175. Is that right, Josh?
Correct.
I mean, oh, man. The world is aware of the Miz, I guess is what how we'll put that.
I would say that his temperament is perfect for his situation, right? So he lives baseball. He loves baseball. He loves going out there and competing. And if you ask him, how did you learn how to throw 100? He'll just say, well, I just picked up the ball and that's what my arm does. That's what my body does. It's like, dude. Thank you. That's awesome. Good for you. He clearly is not a gym rat, right? I mean, he is 125 pounds soaking wet with ankle weights on, and he's 6'7". So he's got all these levers that it's just amazing to watch. And he's not even a baseball junkie, so to speak. Like, he didn't grow up loving the sport. He's like, hey, I was blessed with this gift and I'm going to use it to the best of my abilities. But at the end of the day, in the off season, sure, I'll go play catch. But I'd love to go play Dungeons and Dragons in the basement because that's what I want to do. That's the stuff that he loves. So it's like, dude, I love your temperament because all you want to do is go play ball and you want to go have fun and you want to embarrass these people. His energy on the mound is amazing. He strikes dudes out and he's jumping off the mound. I love it. I love seeing it. It's almost the ignorance is bliss for Jacob Mizorowski.
Jeff, thick burger or thin burger? The only reason I ask is because my wife did the shopping this weekend and got burgers that I could cook with a candle.
Oh, okay. So you're out on smash burgers?
I don't think I've ever had a smash burger. But I like a thick, you know, not obnoxiously big, but I'd like to be able to tell if the burger is medium rare the way I like it.
Well, let's make sure your boogers are rare before your burgers are medium rare. So,
did I say booger? I love it.
It's all right. We've all been there.
Man. Yeah, I think
I fritzed out on an Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin read this week that's out there somewhere. I would like to taste my burger as well, but I am not opposed to a smash burger. I love that on my griddle outside.
Wait, okay. So you do the smash burger yourself?
Yes, for sure.
So explain to Chewy how you do it, because he thought that in order to make your own burgers, you needed to have like an egg and breadcrumbs, and he didn't realize that the burger is just ground meat.
Well, you can if you want to get all fancy with it, but you could just do some sort of a mix with your ground meat and roll it up into a ball, put it on the grill, and then put a piece of parchment paper over the burger and then smash it down.
So it's cooking as a ball for a little while and then you smash it?
Just a bit. Yeah, just as a quick little sear.
Okay.
Quick little sear. And then you smash it down.
All right, I'll give it
a run.
See,
the problem with these burgers that Chewy's wife bought, they were not smash burgers.
No, they're like White Castle specials. See, I'm not a White Castle burger guy.
Yes, there it is. In fact, we were in Joliet this past weekend for a baseball tournament, and Chase and I, my son who's 16, passed a number of White Castles, and every time I was like, hey, yeah. Hey, you want to? And he's like, absolutely not. I'm wearing white pants.
Oh my gosh. He did it because he was wearing white pants?
Yeah.
Which I gotta
Come on.
I gotta say, that's
a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You can't be out there going down for that ground ball.
Kids are ruthless. Kids see something like that, you're never gonna live that down.
And having a white
post game snack. Yes. Yeah, post game snack. But who's doing laundry? Who's doing laundry? You or Dario. So, I mean, that's also a big, big deal.
I think we all know the answer to that one, Jeff. We're gonna let you go on that, though. Great to have you joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hopefully we'll chat with you a lot more as we are very excited about what the Brewers are putting together this 2025 season. Have a good one, man.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thank you.
Again, I don't want to oversell it, but man, I'm getting excited. I'm getting a little giddy about what this Brewers team can do. And obviously Wednesday will just be, I mean, is Wednesday going to be the highlight of, I hope not. I hope that Wednesday Skeens v. Mizorowski is not the highlight of the regular season.
You can't get too high yet, though. Can't get too high, can't get too ludger.
Can I be excited for Skeens you versus Mizorowski? Can I at least be excited for it?
Without, you know, the judgment?
Yeah. I can be excited, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's literally the best pitcher in baseball but going up against a guy
who
started his career with 11 straight no-hit innings. He's given up one hit in two starts.
And he was so mad that he gave up that hit, by the way.
Turns out when you throw 100, they barrel it.
They
goes a long
split
way.
With the Cubs one game to one. Are you fine with that? Or is it still? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I told you at the time that wasn't going to be a big, you know, year-defining series. And
well, I mean,
they
you were the
split.
Only ones.
Yeah, they went in there, they split. It was fine.
Yeah.
And then they just beat the crowd.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Things got a little
interesting. I think we're having a philosophical conversation here, guys, because no one said that it was going to be the end-all, be-all.
But they said it was a huge matchup.
He said
which it
big.
Wasn't Twitter saying huge, this is a big? It's not.
It's a great straw man. Also, I'm not letting Chewy rain on my damn parade. I'm going to get excited.
Raining.
I'm going to get juiced up. You're the big rainer. You're the big pooper.
I think I'm the realist.
No. I think if we start acting like you, we're going to start hating everything.
Well,
and
you're
I already
halfway
hate a lot
there.
Of stuff. I know.
You're the most angry person on the show.
You can't take it from me.
That's big talk coming for you on a Monday.
Friends get engaged and he just blows them off.
Wasn't a blow off.
Yeah, it was technically a blow off.
See, this is why you're the most angry, because you get in a fight with Josh and the first thing you do
They texted him Sunday afternoon and said, hey, we got engaged. Do you want to go have a couple pops? He didn't even respond.
Shout out to Jake and Sarah, who are loyal listeners.
Here we go.
He just made up for it. Shouting him out on the radio is a lot more important than showing up.
Who gets credit?
Up.
Why are you giving him credit? I get the credit.
I am so
I made him
uncomfortable
say it.
Right now, guys.
You know what? He does get the credit. I don't know if you'd have brought it up because he panicked and then you panicked. You guys are having a panic off right now.
I love taking people out. It's a lot of fun.
It's very scary, though, just so you know. Like, this is now where the point where I'm about to say something, and I go, you know what? I'm going to keep that one to myself, because you never know when it's going to show up on the radio.
The second you get in a fight, you just dime them out.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Let's be clear here. I'm under the understanding with Chewy, anything I say to him could or may be repeated.
That's smart by you.
Yeah. Yes. Anything you say to Chewy can and will be used against you.
Why should I not have said that?
I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
They understood.
Yeah, they know who Josh is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All
right, let's sing a reed.
All right, Jen, what you got over there?
I got nothing.
Yeah. We're going to go to break.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Five. We are looking for caller number 5, 800-990-3776, because you have an opportunity to check out the Wade versus Diener Champions for Literacy Celebration at the Garage at Harley-Davidson Museum coming up on Saturday, June 28th. So you can go check that out. Support Wade versus Diener in a great event in Champions for Literacy. Caller number 5, 800-990-3776, wins two tickets to the Champions for Literacy Celebration at the Garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum.
Thank you all for coming. I hope you like the show, cause it's on a budget. So ooh-de-la-de-do, yeah. Come on, here we go, yeah. Come on.
Here we go.
Today's Infinity Exterior poll on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account says, which option do you think would be best for Christian Watson and for the Packers on the field and playing week one or starting the season on the pup? This was brought up because Christian Watson posted a video to his socials of him running and cutting. And, you know, it seems like he is doing well in his recovery from the injury. 86% of people are saying starting the season on the pup. And Gabe, I think you made some really strong points about why this is not only good for Christian, but it's good for the Packers as well.
Yeah, just making sure that, A, he's good to go, and there's no residuals from making sure the knee is healthy, that now there's something, again, because we found out. I didn't know it was a thing until Christian Watson found out that one hamstring was stronger than the other hamstring. So making sure that all is good to go there. And I mean, I think the Packers don't want to have to make any of those tough decisions, whether it's wide receivers or keeping somebody else on the roster. And that decision is probably going to be made for them by the time he's actually ready to get out there on the field with injuries and different things that happen throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we all thought it would be early reports, week 9, week 10, week 11. Yeah, anything sometime under that's gravy.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I think people go back to the Adrian Peterson injury when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL all those years ago, and he was back on the field in 8 months after his surgery, and it was like, this is incredible. This is superhuman. How did he do it? Well, like, people are coming back from it faster and faster, and that is the only reason why when you see this video, you sit there and go, could he be back week one? Do we even want him back week one? Should he be pushing for that? Talk about the contract as well. Lots of stuff. And I'm sure Wildy and Tausch will be breaking it all down right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee in 2 minutes.